Apple iPhone 14 and Apple Watch Series 8 get released to the world. Google might pay you $400 if they use facial recognition on you. $76 million was approved for the electric vehicle chargers in Arizona, and how to protect against robo call and text scams as they are on the rise.
You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for up-to-date scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. This is episode 106. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. We love to hear from you, so give us a call during this show with your computer, internet, cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today are two people. Without these two people, the Computer Doctor Show definitely would not be in existence, nor would the Computer Doctor himself exist. I would like to give a big welcome to my parents, visiting from New York City and celebrating 50 years. That's 5-0, 50 years of marriage, a truly golden moment. Say hello.
Hello.
Thank you, Aaron. Hello, Tucson.
We would like to show some love to Mike and the team at Perfection Auto Works for all your car's needs. Mike Emery has found the dream team of expert auto technicians in Tucson and their clean facility so they can get it right the first time. So don't waste your time or your money at other shops. Take advantage of their free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works. For an appointment, call 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. We have a great technology show for you today, so we're going to get right into tech news this week. And I told my parents they can say anything that they want, throw me off my game. I have been giving them excellent computer service for many, many years, and they're going to be able to give us some insight on technology that has affected them over the past 50 years of marriage. So that'll be interesting. First, I'm going to turn off my phone. Computer Doctor is very, very popular, as you can see. So, how to protect against robocalls and text scams as they're on the rise. So, there has been a report this week. Americans are expected to be on the receiving end of 86 billion robocalls and nearly 150 billion robotexts. So, the question that I have for you guys: what scams have you come across in the past 50 years that has kind of molded you or kind of reinvented you? Dad, you said you had some things, right?
Well, one of the scams that has kind of changed my opinion of what's going on in our society today, as well as the minds of many of your listeners too as well, and that is the vast amount of them. And they do it to create fear, mm-hmm. or try to create a need that you don't think even existed before.
Sounds like a salesman, because that's what scams are. It's a huge sales pitch. Really, is that? What about mommy? What about you?
Everything having to do with technology, I have referred to you, Aaron, since you were 7 years old.
Okay. I knew she was going to say that. Okay. All right. Here's something else. Okay. So the question was how to protect yourselves. Always verify incoming calls. Never give up information on incoming calls. And if you don't know the person that's sending you the text message, even if it's the first text, and they're getting very, very creative with how they sound, that it may sound like somebody that you know, don't reply, because you're just indicating that you're a live person, and then your phone number gets put on more call lists and more texting lists.
So my process of ignoring all calls that I don't recognize and not even answering them, that would be a good approach?
Something that I use, because I run a business, we have lots of business owners that that listen to the show. You can't really not answer your calls, but what you want to do is find a new way to answer your phone that does not contain the word hello. The word hello is a buzzword that AI and computers all over the world are programmed to listen for. You call a number, waiting for someone to say hello. As long as you answer your phone with anything other than a hello, you can. If somebody calls me, Computer Doctor of Tucson, how can I help you? You know, or this is Aaron, how can I help you? You know, I don't say hello, because hello will trigger all the systems and all the algorithms of all the systems, and you just get put on more stuff. So you can answer your phone, just not with hello.
So my process of saying who is this has worked, and I didn't even know it.
Well, I guess it could, but you also want to be polite too.
What if you say nothing at all?
That again, you want to be polite. I knew some people that just pick up the phone and they don't say anything. They wait for me to talk, and then I'm the one that says hello. Are you there? Because all they hear is silence. So there might be a little bit of a strategy with that. With me running a business, I actually do have to say something, because that would deter customers away, paying customers.
Would that also apply to your voicemail, not saying hello on your voicemail?
Here's what it is. Scammers are not necessarily interested in leaving messages. At least real scammers are not. There are sales forces that are around where they have actually made a science of purposely leaving a voicemail. They figured out how to call you without your phone to ring, but still go straight to voicemail, and they want to really just leave the voicemail. That's their purpose of calling, not really talking to you. And then there are people that actually want to talk to you live. So not saying anything on your voicemail or what exactly you say in your voicemail doesn't really affect it. There are some single women out there that like to have a man's voice on their voicemail so that they don't get necessarily targeted, but that's more of a social thing, not really a technology thing. But great question. These are great questions. Also, Apple iPhone 14 and Apple Watch Series 8 get released to the world. So if you have an extra $1,000 or $1,600, you can go ahead and get one of those, the iPhone 14. And also the iPhone Series Apple Watch Series 8 starts at $400 and as high as $500. So if you want to spend if you have some extra money for a watch, go ahead. I remember the free watch that I had when I was growing up, Dad. You remember that watch? It was that gold one, and you had it for what, like 20 years, and you got it for free or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was out in our, what we call our field ministry activity, mm-hmm. and one of the persons who I was making calls on, her husband had passed away. Mm-hmm. And she said that she would want me to have that watch. And mm-hmm. so she gave it to me. At that time, it was a very expensive watch.
Okay. We do have a caller. Our good friend Charles Heller is on line one. Hey, Charles. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show again.
Thank you. This is a really good topic about scam phone calls. I'm wondering what you think of the idea. Whenever I get one, my phone alerts me a possible scam or something like it. It'll say scam something. I forget what it says, but anyway,
potential scam
yeah. or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I like to do is just swipe away, decline the call, but then immediately call it back. And most of the time when I do, it's to a disconnected number, and that's how I know it's a scam. Does the fact that they didn't reach you do anything to their algorithm?
It does, but when you call back, it even furthers their cause, because even though you get a disconnect message, I can create a phone number and have a disconnect message as the announcement when you call, but it's actually a real working phone. So
it's the network giving me that message. It's not the scammer's number. They're calling from a spoofed number.
Yes, they can. Well, there's different ways. It can be that, but I would refrain from calling them back. If it's a spoofed number, don't call it back, because they could be potentially using that number. It could be spoofed or it could be real. And if it is real, they could be putting that number into an algorithm to get you more calls. My dad had a question. My dad had a comment real quick.
Go ahead.
Yes. It's been my experience that if you respond to a call in any way, their system will recognize that there is a live person there and will take that information and send you even more robocalls.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, one of the things I do is I engage with them, some of those people, and drive them in circles.
Yeah, there you go.
And sometimes what happens is they'll call me, and then it'll go on hold, and then they'll hang up. Because I think they recognize my number as somebody who pulls their chain.
There's a name for that. It's called scam baiting. And I am a scam baiter myself. And I'm glad to know, Charles, that you are a scam baiter too. And there are different levels of scam baiters.
And some of them are masters. Yes, yeah. I know.
Okay.
I have a whole page on my website about people who send me scams. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
Have fun
cool.
to play with them.
So, well,
all right, thanks.
Thanks for your call, Charles. Before we go into our commercial break, just wanted to mention that that Google is offering to pay up to $400 if they have used your face in their facial recognition program using Google Pictures or Google Photos. CNET.com reported a class action lawsuit claiming that Google illicitly uses a facial recognition program to sort pictures in Google Photos, resulting in Google agreeing to a $100 million settlement this spring. Individuals whose likenesses appeared on a Google Photos album could be eligible for a chunk of the payout, but where are less than 2 weeks before that deadline, which happens just this, actually just 1 week away, happening on September 24th. Just 7 days from today is the deadline to get onto that class action suit. We're going to be posting the website link to get yourself added to that class action suit. Before we're going to take our midway break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week and the future of electric vehicle chargers in Arizona. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
My name is Dark, Johnny Dark. Seems there was a murder. A dame was a prime suspect. A fan dancer named Kitty LaRue. There she was, decked out like a mannequin in a Macy's display window. Sophie, my receptionist, must have let her in.
Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Johnny.
So do you happen to know a mobster named Vinny Corolla? Seems he was murdered last night.
We ran around together. I haven't seen him in years.
So, no reason to get even, right? Well, you're lying.
What are you...
Last night, your drippings gave you away. The oil from your car was found in Vinny's driveway. We traced it back to Jerky Lou. You were there 2 days ago.
You got me, Johnny.
Yes, he confessed. We'll be right down, Chief.
Perfection Auto Works will make sure that your car or truck is not a stool pigeon. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with my parents here visiting from New York City, celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Congratulations again. They're here talking to us about knowledge and wisdom over the past 50 years that they've used and some of the things that have made them wise and smart to survive all kinds of things in the past 50 years. But before we get into the next segment, what are some technologies that that mom and dad have you guys used over the years that has benefited? I already know what your answer is. So, mom, all right, dad, what you said that you were doing some research, right? So, what are some of the things you found?
Yes, well, I just wanted to go back and do a little bit of research about my past experience with computers. It started in 1981 when IBM came out with what they called their System 23, which was the and the operating system was called BASIC. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And so that was an interesting event because a programmer would have to come in and sit down with me, and I would have to explain to him step by step all the processes that I go through to develop a budget and keep various other accounting situations under control and how to do it. And then a week later, he would come back with the program written up, mm-hmm. and we would test it out.
Oh, wow. And that was the IBM. Now, what company were you working for at the time?
I was working for a architectural firm by the name of Casuda and Ponte.
Oh.
Both great men in their own right, but they've passed away.
Oh, okay. And that was my dad's job, the Casuda and Associates. Casuda, yep, and lots of things happening there. What other technologies would you like to share there?
Well, we had that system for a few years, but it was in 1985, actually, that IBM came out with the desktop computer.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it was the major breaking Microsoft disk operating system.
DOS. Okay.
It's now known as DOS, exactly. Yeah. And it's still around. It's there in the coding somewhere.
Yes.
It's still around.
And actually, it actually is running in the background of still lots of many different operating systems. I know it was the basis of Windows 7. And versions of DOS and also PowerShield. PowerShield is like the next generation or next platform above DOS. Has like the blue screen that we still use in computers today. Sometimes if a program or an application doesn't have the button that you're trying to make it do, you can make it do that thing through commands in DOS and PowerShell.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So if you know the right keystrokes, you can go to DOS and do those things.
Even though the program doesn't want you to.
And if you want to know more about that, call Computer Doctor of Tucson. He'll tell you all about it.
Okay. We got time for one more.
Yes. Well, another thing is with the operating system that started with the IBM desktop computer was a spreadsheet program called Multiplan. Mm. And that lasted for a few years. And then Lotus 1-2-3 became very popular. And I was one of the testers on Lotus 1-2-3, making comparisons between Multiplan and Lotus 1-2-3. But then in 1985, Microsoft came out with a program called Excel.
Yeah.
And we've been using Excel ever since.
You can do some pretty awesome. My dad has actually done some pretty awesome things with Excel. We had to do some readouts of our property. So we needed to have a diagram of our property lines. He actually drew the property lines in Excel.
Okay. I do everything in Excel. I write letters in Excel and do accounting in Excel.
Yep, you're just an Excel person. How about that? We're going to go into our segment we call Science and Tech History. This is where we look at things that have happened in history and with the corresponding dates. So today is September 17th. So about a week ago, September 10th, 1990, 32 years ago, the first internet search engine called Archie was launched. Now, the World Wide Web wasn't even invented at that time. The World Wide Web wasn't formed until about a year later. And then Web Crawler then became the first web search engine. And there is a difference between the internet and the web. We're not going to get into it, but there is a difference. Okay, but Web Crawler was the first web search engine out of April of 1994. But 32 years ago, the first internet search engine, Archie, was launched. Also, September 13th, 1985, which was 37 years ago. Mommy, you're going to love this one. The original Super Mario Brothers on... The original Super Mario Brothers on original classic Nintendo came out. My mother brought it from home. I was sitting at home minding my own business, and she walks in with this black box with orange and white characters on it. And I said, "What's that?" And she says, "Aaron, I got you a Nintendo."
And Aaron had it set up in 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Did you even know what it was at that time? Or the guy at the store just
I did not know what it was. I stopped in CVS because I had such a terrible headache. And the guy says, I said, the kids are so good, sell me something. I was thinking about a train set. So he sold me the Nintendo. I didn't know what it was.
Ooh, a train set.
But Aaron saw it. Of course, Aaron was always the type of person, any electronics that came into the house, he had an aptitude. He knew what it was. I didn't know what this thing was. I just had a headache. And Aaron had that thing assembled and on his shelf, and he was playing with it. Now, I said I had a headache, okay? But he didn't care about my headache. He cared about Nintendo.
And lots of my friends growing up, we grew up on Nintendo. I never had the Atari. We never got the Sega Genesis, which were other platforms and consoles of the time. But I love the Nintendo, still do. If my wife lets me have that again, maybe I can play late night video games again. Okay. Also, September 15th, 1997, 25 years ago, Google.com domain was registered. So that's pretty interesting. So it's been 25 years of Google. So this is definitely search engine week here. And what is everybody's? By the way, my wife is in studio here. She's not talking. She doesn't talk. But I know that she uses Google as her main search engine. What are your main search engines when you're searching?
I've tried every search engine that's out there, and guess what? I always come back to Google.
Ah, and mommy.
I just call you, Aaron. You know that.
that's her story, and she's sticking with it this time around. Okay, that is it for science and tech history. The last of our features here on the show today, $76 million was approved for the electric vehicle chargers in Arizona. This is more like a local story. So the state of Arizona is recognizing that the automotive industry is doing more with electric vehicles. One of the problems with electric vehicles, though, is the range. And that is, when in an electric vehicle, you don't really fill it up with gas, but you charge it the same way that you would charge your phone or charge your other electronics, mobile devices, you would charge your car. But obviously, as you're driving, it's discharging. You can only go but so many miles before you need another charge. And if you're traveling cross-state or through several states, you're going to need charging stations along the freeway the same way that you would need gas stations along the highway so that the cars can keep going. But the question is where do these charging stations go? How are they put up? Where are they going to be? And most importantly, who's going to pay for them? It's estimated that per charger, it's about $100,000 per charger. That it costs somebody to install these. Tom has the question, the cost of lithium is going up and up. Where does it come from? Excellent question. Well, you know where lithium comes from. They've actually found a large lithium lake. There's this big lake in California where they've discovered lots and lots of lithium. So that's it's pretty interesting that that's there. So that is still in negotiations. $76 million approved for Arizona, and we're going to be seeing a lot of those chargers being installed very, very soon. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, again for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location on Speedway in Craycroft for your free 26-point inspection. And as always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Always look at the address bar. Check activity on your bank statements. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing calls. And back up your system to the cloud. And listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays and post it as podcasts on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com, click episodes, and find episode 106. My name is Aaron Moss, your host, technology expert. My mother and father are co-hosts today. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights.
If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.